The Homeland Security Department may have found a break in the wall that has stopped the government and industry from effectively talking, sharing, and solving problems over the last two decades. The reverse industry day is one approach that puts the government in the audience and vendors on stage to discuss challenging acquisition topics. In his weekly feature, The Reporter's Notebook, executive editor Jason Miller writes about how the reverse industry day concept is catching on across the government, and he joins me now with more. And Jason, first of all, tell us, what is reverse industry day and how does it work?
Well, instead of a typical industry day where an agency will invite vendors to listen to them talk and drone on for an hour or two or three and PowerPoint slides and all those fun things, it's reversed, right? So the government audience is program managers, policy people, IT people, acquisition folks, and they're sitting in the room listening to vendors talk at them about decisions that vendors make when it comes to federal procurement. DHS really started this off. Really, this is the fourth one of theirs, is coming up June 28th. But what they've been doing, and other agencies are starting to follow, is this idea of what topics are tough on you guys, tell us, and let's bring up a panel of experts to talk about that topic. So it could be anything like debriefings, or it could be something like requirements definition. And that back and forth allows them to have a better idea of, okay, when we're putting our RFP together, when we decide on an RFI or task order under a GSA schedule or GWAC or whatever, this is what industry is thinking. And I think, Tom, that change is really opening up the floodgates of communication.
I guess the question is, if these people are discussing the government and the government's reaction to what they're doing, does the knowledge of observation of that process, of that talking by the government, affect the candidness of what they'll say?
So no, because they're not talking about a specific contract. So for instance, DHS doesn't bring up the Agile contract called Flash that was unfortunately a failure. They're not going to go back and do a postmortem on that. But they will say, hey, we've seen this trend in DHS acquisitions. This is how we think, this is the problem we see with that. And they'll talk about it that way. So it's a very safe environment, so no one gets mad at each other.
And has DHS, in fact, held these days?
Oh, they're right. The fourth one's coming up in June. We have a link to the FedBizOps announcement so people can find all the details. And not just DHS, but IRS had one in April. GSA has one in July. DOD is planning one. So there's a lot coming up because I think it's a popularity and a recognition that these are such important events.
Where do they take place? What's the format? How many people from industry talk? Give us a little insider story of them.
Sure. So each one's a little different. Industry, for instance, the IRS one, they had three separate panels. Each panel had two or three industry people on it. And they looked at a whole bunch of, they addressed three topics for the IRS one back in April: the acquisition timeline, the bid, no bid decision, and then how the industry interprets solicitation requirements. And they basically just had a conversation about it. Tom, I also talked with Mark Pearl, and he is the president and CEO of the Homeland Security Business Council. And they represent a bunch of vendors who work in the Homeland Security world, and they've worked closely with DHS, and now they're working closely with other agencies. And he said the other thing they're starting to do is really do a kind of a mock or a roundtable discussion where they bring in someone playing the role of a CEO, someone playing the role of a business development person, someone playing the role of the general counsel, and they present this exercise to the audience and say, this is how a bid, no bid decision works, and here's your list, you're the fly on the wall to listen to the conversation about how those discussions happen. Because remember, profit margins are small, the risk is high, the chance of protest is big. So the industry, as they make that decision, that's helpful for government to see, and they have better understanding.
In many ways, this is like the spawn of Dan Gordon's Mythbusters of years ago.
So I think this is better than Mythbusters, because Mythbusters just said, yeah, you can do it, don't worry about it. This is actually taking it a next step further by saying, we're actually going to have these conversations and let, if you will, government be a fly on the wall in the industry discussion areas. One of the things that Mark Pearl told me, again, from the Homeland Security Business Council, is the discussions really give people an idea of in an unscripted way, what decisions are made and how they're made. And it then creates this bi-directional communication, because then the government folks can ask industry questions after the exercise is over. So it's really creating that better sense.
And because it's many government, many industry in the room, there's no ethical issues involved with holding these.
And they're not talking about specific solicitation. They're not talking about specific procurement. They're just talking generally, hey, the bid or no bid decision, how does that work?
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, and I wanted to ask you about a related but kind of separate item that you're reporting on, and that is about the proliferation of multiple award contracts across government. There's some new data here that's pretty interesting.
So this has been a huge problem over the last, I would say, 15 years. The agencies all coming up with their own contracts. Hey, I can't use this one because I need my own. And then the same vendors bid on it. We've seen this a lot for IT services. I wrote about this back in the fall about agile contracting, and we called it the agile craze is taking over government. Well, I asked the Bloomberg government to help out and look at the number of multiple award contracts across government. And what they found is while there are still more than 2,600 across government, the number of MACs, as we call them, multiple award contracts, has dropped by about 8% or 239 contracts over the last 5 years. Now, part of this is because I would say there's lower spending. Part of it is because the Office of Management and Budget required business cases for new contracts or ones that are renewed.
Also going back to the Dan Gordon era.
2011, right? That where there's a cost of over $50 million for the life cycle, for the lifetime of the contract. Now, Tom, at the same time, the spending on multiple award contracts have gone up, according to Bloomberg government, to $111 billion last fiscal year, so 2016, from $106 billion in 2015. So the amount of spending is going up. They're still popular. The number of contracts are coming down. So why are we talking about this now? Not just because of the numbers from Bloomberg, but because of the policy cleaning out the closet that we've been talking about for the last week or two.
Yes, OMB Director Mick Mulvaney has streamlined or changed that whole process of the business case analysis, which I guess some in industry worrying that number could start veering up again.
And I think that's a fair concern because one of the things that OMB is asking, they're going from a 15-page justification to a 3-page justification. And basically what OMB did was they broke it down to 4 steps. First, they want the agency to do what they call informed analysis. Look what's around you. Go to the Federal Acquisition Gateway, a GSA, and decide, okay, does one exist that can meet my needs? If they don't believe there is, do some engagement. Talk to some people. Look at what the difference is between renewing your own contract or opening up a new contract or using an existing one. Then if that still is the case, you believe you need your own, then you need to come to OMB and have an explanation. Talk to the federal category manager for the category management initiative and see what they could do to maybe help you. Maybe they could just modify something versus a whole new contract. And then and only then you can make your decision. And then you still need to provide OMB with data around compliance, savings, and other information. Now, OMB is going to pilot this starting in August and have results no later than March of 2019. So it's a pretty long pilot.
And there are two parties to this because there is the justification, whether 4 pages or 13 pages, and I guess you could use small type on 4 pages and get 13 pages worth in there. But then there's also the decision making by OMB, and now we have a very different OMB. So maybe he's confident, Mulvaney, that they're going to say no more.
The no didn't happen very often under the Obama administration. Let's be clear on that. I think there's been some effort by, for instance, GSA and the Defense Health Agency or GSA and DISA to really merge contract opportunities, for instance, around satellite communications. DISA was going to go out with one. GSA was going to go out with one. They've worked together. So that's a prime example of something good that happened. But there's not been very oftentimes, at least that we've heard about, where OFPP, Office of Federal Procurement Policy, came out and said, no, you can't move forward with this multiple work contract. And I think that frustrates vendors because it costs vendors to bid every single time, and there's no guarantee of winning. This is just what they call license to hunt.
Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller, thanks so much.
Always a pleasure, Tom.
Be sure to check out his notebook now online at federalnewsradio.com.